From KLCC Studios, this is Oregon on the Record.
I'm Michael Dunn. Being mayor in a city like Eugene requires a unique set of skills. While you don't have as much power as the mayor of a larger city does, in Eugene, the city manager hires and fires staff, you are the figurehead of the city and you lead the council. It requires equal parts coalition builder, chief communicator, and brand ambassador. Today on the show, you'll hear a conversation with Eugene's new mayor, Karin Knutson. She's been on the job just a few months, but has already had to tackle the very controversial issue of a major budget shortfall and the enaction of a new tax. She's also focusing on strategies to combat the biggest problem the city and community faces, a lack of affordable housing and homelessness. Next on Oregon on the Record, the former architect talks about her designs for Eugene. Karin Knutson won the race for Eugene Mayor with a comfortable margin. Now, as she enters the first stages of the job, she talks with us about how things are going. A quick note, we spoke before the news of Eugene City Manager Sarah Medary's retirement. Eugene's Mayor Karin Knutson, thanks so much for coming in and talking to us.
Thank you for having me, Michael. It's great to be here.
I imagine it's been, what's the old phrase, drinking from a fire hose. But I did want to kind of start with this, you know, how has it been going? You know, maybe even share with us what were some of the big surprises as you ascended to the mayoral office for the city of Eugene?
Oh, thank you. You can imagine all across the community, folks are asking a question a little bit like that mm-hmm. one. And oftentimes, the first thing that I will say to people is just that there is a lot going on. When people say, how's it going? I say, there's a lot going on right now. And that is absolutely true mm-hmm. at every level and in every area of work related to our community's needs and meeting those needs with our services, but also longer-term planning and just our city doing its very best to steer through some pretty uncharted waters, I would say. And, you know, that in and of itself, I think, of course, makes this a very unusual time. I will also say that I love being the mayor of Eugene. I love meeting people all around the community who want to share with me what it is that they care so deeply about in this community. There are innumerable opportunities to spend time learning more about our community, and that has been really a delight in this first 2 months.
Yeah.
But there is a lot going on.
Maybe to sort of encapsulate, what are some things that people ask you, tell you? I mean, obviously, you've been out and about a lot, and that's a huge part of being mayor. What are some of the conversations? Because obviously, you're helping to run a middle-sized city of a middle-sized state in the federal government where there's so much happening. Mm-hmm. What are some of those mm-hmm. conversations like?
Well, I think one of the things that's interesting right now is that people are largely engaging with national media or mm-hmm. the national conversation about what's happening within our government, but then their connection point is at the local
level. Sure, sure.
So a lot of the questions that I'm fielding from people have to do, you know, quite frankly, with general anxiety and legitimate concerns about access to services or resources that have always been really the, you know, bread and butter of supports for the entirety of the American public since the early 20th century. So a lot of people who are asking questions about things like healthcare. I introduced and welcomed people to the second annual citywide healthcare forum a couple of weekends ago. Mm-hmm. That was a fantastic panel discussion with representation from our county and Eve Gray, from our local legislators, Representative Lisa Fragola, Senator James Manning was there, several other folks who are plugged directly into our healthcare systems, and a lot of conversation and concern about that. That continues in our community to be a core concern, and the way that the city interfaces with that is a little bit different because the Lane County is our public health agency.
Sure.
But the city of Eugene is how people understand their identity and the mm-hmm. community that they're a part of. So we have a critical role to play in terms of linking and making sure that we're getting people on the path to the right information. But there's a lot of questions about, you know, capacity that supports things like the construction of affordable housing and the decisions that HUD might be making in the future at the federal government. Lots of questions about how it is that our local laws and really clearly established local ordinances and policy are being impacted by some of these other decisions. And I'm just doing my very best to give people good information and send them in a positive direction.
I can imagine when you ran for office, you had a good idea of what the expectations were for the mayor of Eugene. But obviously, between winning office and where we are now, you know, it must be, I can't think of the right phrase, but it must be tough to know, boy, there are a lot of my constituents who are wondering, is the federal government going to be there for me? And so they kind of, you know, kind of pigeonhole you to say, is there something the city can do that maybe the federal government used to do, but now we don't know?
Well, one of the very powerful things about being connected locally and connected to local government in our community is that, you know, cities are the places to act urgently and, you know, act in ways that are innovative and forward thinking. We are uniquely suited to do that. We're uniquely suited to pilot solutions within our state. And I am very excited about the work that I see our community doing, that Eugene will do in the future, partnering with our county, with our state, with others in the community and stakeholder groups to help us make progress against some of our real core challenges. People are concerned about the cost of living. People are concerned about access to housing. That remains the primary concern that so many people have, the presence and the visibility of the crisis of homelessness and the humanitarian crisis that is for our community. Those were consistent concerns. Almost every single door that I knocked on in 2023, 2024, on Saturday mornings, and asked people, tell me what it is that you are concerned about in your community or you want to be sure a mayor would be thinking about. Mm-hmm. And to almost a person, with only two exceptions, those 800 different people all across our city said, housing and homelessness, help us make progress on this. And I hope, as an architect and an urban designer and someone who's been working in housing advocacy for much of this past decade, I hope that I'm uniquely suited to help us in that work, but it remains a significant challenge. And that's a challenge that would have been here for us regardless of what was happening at the federal level. It's just unfortunate that so many policy concepts that would have been, you know, possibilities for our near-term future that were floated in 2023, 2024 are now, you know, not even on the table. There was a lot of discussion at the federal level about support for production of, you know, workforce housing, moderate income housing. We have a huge need for that in our community. We're still going to do that work, but we will do that work in a different way. And I'm prepared to do that, but that's a massive shift from 2024. When I essentially won the mayoral election in the primary, in the May primary, with about 75-73% of the vote, Joe Biden was still the candidate for president. Yeah. I mean, that's like three lifetimes ago in terms of, you know, what our community is perceiving. So it has been a long time, but it has also only been, you know, barely 10 months. So not even 10 months. So I'm looking forward to what we're going to do together in the future. I know that we will have to face some significant challenges, and we will build all sorts of strengths and networks together that that I think will be beneficial to us in the future. But, you know, this is it's an extraordinary time.
Yeah, yeah. Reintroduce you to the audience. We're talking to Eugene's mayor, Karen Knutson. Talk a little bit about coalition building, because obviously, you know, you're the largest city in Lane County, but obviously Lane County is a partner. A lot of nonprofits are. Talk about the ways in which you're trying to build a coalition, and kind of in the shadow of what you just talked about, that there may not be resources available at the federal level, so we've got to kind of work together. Talk about what you're doing to sort of build that.
Oh, I love this question, because this, I think, is a huge opportunity for us as a community, and it's a next chapter for Eugene to step into that I think our city is also uniquely suited to do the work.
Yeah.
When I think about our community and some of the core values and the identity that we hold, one of the things that makes Eugene such a special place is that we are truly delighted by the diversity of thought and of perspectives that are within our community. And I mean that broadly. Mm-hmm. And that diversity of perspectives, the diversity of ways in which people work in our community, the ways in which they give back to our community, how they imagine the future for our community, all of that together together, churns together here in this burgeoning heart of the Southern Willamette Valley, and does something special. And I think that this work of coalition building, especially in these next couple of years, to really be able to focus on where our shared goals are, the work that we agree on, the work that we can see is necessary and that offers a multitude of supports to our community, those are going to be the areas that I hope we will focus. My experience building coalition in our community is that if you can hold a space that allows for people to honestly express their concerns and honestly engage with a structural systemic issue, and if you can just hang on to the fact that people might have disagreements about specific tactics, but hang on to the idea that you are largely working towards solving a problem you agree on, mm-hmm. and working towards a shared goal, that 80% of the effort that we can put in, that's an opportunity for our city to be wildly successful. Yeah. If we can just hang on to some of that space with the work that we have to do on housing, on supporting public safety, on making sure that we are meeting people's basic needs, mm-hmm. and helping to catalyze and support new innovative work in our community, new partnerships, new sustainable business, like these are all outcomes that everyone benefits from, even if they aren't what, as individuals, we would perceive as our most important outcomes, right? Yep. We benefit from the whole of our success, and I will do my very best to help us focus on that.
You walked into office, you knew that there was a big budget deficit, you got to work with the council, you passed the fire services fee. Take us through sort of the way in which you work with council and staff to realize, okay, this is what we need to do, here's how we're gonna fix it.
Sure, and I will say that this is a great question following on what you just asked about in terms of coalition building and how it is that we actively construct more policy that we can all feel pretty good about, mm-hmm. right, and can feel in support of. I would say, in the case of the city's current budget, so this is the 2023 to 2025 budget and this ongoing process to close the city's budget gap. Stepping into office in January, I will tell you, it felt a little bit like grabbing on to the last car of a train because that public process, that community process to address that gap in the budget and pursue some different strategies, explore some different revenue scenarios, that work had been ongoing for a couple of years at that point. The city's first draft of the fire fee ordinance was a year before. Mm-hmm. So it felt very much like I was joining a process that I had not been a part of,
sure.
had not been leading, and had not helped to cultivate or coordinate. And, I would say I'm going to continue working on that process right now because right now we have an ordinance that is in place that from the city council vote to establish a fire fee and to close that gap and fund critical services. We also have a circumstance where our Chamber of Commerce and members of the business community are collecting signatures to put that decision on the ballot. And my hope, looking forward into the future, is that we are able to use our community process to do the hard work, mm-hmm. of generating more agreement. And I think this is something that is sort of a critical point when we're thinking about the structural challenges that we face as a city and the needs that we have as a community. When we invest in process and we use our most precious resource, which is time, right? People and time, most precious resources always, but time within our city, such a critical one, that process, I think it's incumbent that process actually builds support.
Okay.
And that is, that means that we get to a point of a decision where there's a greater shared base of knowledge, right? That you're not having a conversation where it feels like people are still operating with different sets of information, and those different sets of information are what are generating the solutions that they might think are appropriate. That work of sharing knowledge and then effectively, clearly defining, diagnosing the problem, that's the work of civic leadership that we have to do.
Okay.
And in looking forward, you know, with our current challenge with this decision, I'm going to continue to do that work to, you know, try to find a path where we can have the stability that we need and also do a better job of bringing a truly inclusive diversity of voices into this conversation so that our decisions are better informed and we have more people at the table who are feeling like I was here for the whole conversation. We talked about everything that I was concerned about and now we're at a decision point. Okay. And all of the decisions before cities are hard. So it's the only way to make them easier is to at least make them together.
Sometimes it's hard to understand, you know, the choice between cutting services and generating revenue. Is there, I don't know, just a misunderstanding about revenue, about cuts, about services that, you know, I'm not talking about it like a civics lesson, but just seems like, you know, yes, there are entrenched sides on the debate sometimes between taxation and services, but at the same time, I also feel like, and I don't know, I'd want to get your opinion. Do people sometimes just not understand, for example, the challenge of having to cut services, which you certainly deem important, and the challenge of passing a tax that's going to make people's taxes go up? Talk about that from a new political perspective.
Sure, sure. Lots of thoughts that come to mind with that question. The first of which is, I think one of the things you said is absolutely correct, that no one wants to be in the situation that we're in right now.
Okay.
And when I say that I'm continuing to work on this situation and that I am committed to doing everything that I can to steer us towards a better outcome than the one that we're headed towards right now in terms of a community argument, right? A community campaign where we are arguing about this decision, which our city has to make every 2 years, right?
Sure.
This is we have a biennial budget. We have to balance our budget. That's required by law. Cities do that every 2 years. While cities have to hold reserves related to our, you know, basic financial responsibilities, we don't get to set aside savings accounts and have more revenue than expenses. Mm-hmm. We have to balance the budget. So that's just, you know, part of this reality. But when I think about, you know, where we're headed in the future and how this has to do with the community, I have a lot of faith in our community and in people to be able to deal with the complexities of these decisions. I have a lot of faith in our community to be able to understand that there are certain services that people expect to be available at the, you know, times of the business day when those services should be available, or on the weekends, or for childcare, or for library services, or the swimming pools being open in the summertime. I have complete faith that our community can understand that these are hard choices, and also that the city's budget is more complex than our typical household budgets, right? And I don't think anyone would assume that a city that does so many things operationally, maintenance of public space and streets and construction and every kind of work that goes into supporting this place where we all live and work every day, that's way more complex than what
Sure.
we deal with in our household budgets. So I have a lot of faith that if people have information presented in a way that is clear and manageable, right? There's been some effort made to make our, you know, 800-page budget into a more accessible document, right? That if people understand the way in which our general fund works, I think that we have the capacity to find ourselves again with a broader base of shared knowledge. Now, I know that these conversations also are very easily turned into lightning rods and talking points, right?
Sure.
Like, we're not living in a time that gives anyone extra points for wanting to explain, you know, expansively a circumstance. But I do have a lot of faith that that we can do more work to make this information accessible, that we can still find a path that feels workable and like a sensible, pragmatic, you know, series of steps into the future. And then I'm committed to making sure that as we're going forward, we not find ourselves in the same circumstance again.
So my last question probably takes off on that idea of faith in people is, you know, obviously, as you've addressed several times here, one of our greatest challenges is affordable housing and homelessness. Mm-hmm. Talk about, you know, do you have faith that we can solve that problem here in the city of Eugene?
We are doing a lot right now to work on that. And, you know, one of the things, I was talking with someone the other day about, you know, the goals and the metrics that I've set out for our community related to housing production, how important it is that we make progress in all of these different ways to add up to the progress that we need collectively as a community. And, you know, very, very kind person said, well, that's really funny because the mayor doesn't get to build housing. And that's exactly correct. The mayor doesn't actually build the housing. But it is really important to have a civic leader and a community leader who understands that housing is the foundation of our community's health and opportunity. It is the stability that every household springs from, and it is it's the beginning point for every other opportunity and every other positive goal that we have for ourselves. So right now, just this week, the City Council made a decision on Monday evening to support the next phase, two new residential projects, two new apartment buildings that will be at the downtown riverfront, the continued revitalization and re-inhabitation of that former utility operations yard. Mm-hmm. And that with those units now into the pipeline, we have about 650 units mm-hmm. that the City of Eugene, through the handful of tools that we have. We don't have a ton of different tools to inspire housing, but we have a handful, both in downtown core and at the riverfront and then across the city. And there's about 650 in the pipeline. So that's really positive. That is, that's good news for our community, but we need to do more work to find new partnerships, to put creative and productive pilot programs in place, to continue to look at our regulatory structure to streamline production related to housing. And we need to bring new resources to the table if we're going to actually meet our long-term mm-hmm. housing needs. And that's not just true for Eugene. That is true for everywhere. Yeah. And my hope is that we can just do some really good work that early on benefits our community right here. And if it is instructive and can be a model for other mid-sized cities across mm-hmm. the country, then that's great too.
Thank you so much. She is the mayor of Eugene, Karin Knutson. Again, really appreciate you coming in and chatting with us.
Thank you, Michael.
That's the show for today. All episodes of Oregon on the Record are available as a podcast at klcc.org. Tomorrow on the show, we talk about important health news. First, an update from Lane County on our difficult flu season, and then we chat with a local doctor about the positives and many negatives of the new class of weight loss drugs. I'm Michael Dunn, and this has been Oregon on the Record from KLCC. Thanks for listening.